This morning, I want to talk about, I think about what lessons to talk about. That's the hardest thing for me. Maybe I've said that before, but trying to decide what is practical. What do we need to discuss? What have we not discussed? What's on our minds? And thinking about the end of this month, thinking about the end of next month, thinking about December and then January 1st, I'm thinking about all these holidays that are upcoming. And with holidays come a lot of questions. Is it okay? Is it acceptable for us to recognize these holidays? How should I treat these holidays? Am I crossing the line if I think of them in a religious sense? And the Bible answers a lot of these questions. And so I want to this morning and probably most likely this evening as well, as there's a good bit of material to discuss, to talk about holidays. I've entitled the lesson, since you can't see it, Holy Days or Holidays. Holy days or holidays, because what we're going to see, Lord willing, by the end of this day, is that God draws a dividing line between a secular celebration of something and a religious celebration of something. Even biblically, we're going to see evidence of where God draws that line, and so that we can better understand what is and what is not acceptable when it comes to our appreciation of, our celebration of, these given holidays. I want to start, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Give you a moment to meet me there. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Sunday before last, in our Bible class, we talked about Colossians 2, and so this should be familiar, and really just be a recalling of and remembering what this is discussing, but something different we want to focus on. Start in verse 14 of Colossians 2. Paul writes, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Remember, he's talking about these folks and to these guys and these Christians who are trying to continue to live under the Old Testament. Gentiles, even as well, are going to be involved in this. Verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now he says this in verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. In this context, he's telling them the old law has been done away with its precepts, its statutes, its commands, and therefore no one can judge you as to whether or not you must keep these holy days anymore. He's not discussing here whether you shouldn't necessarily keep them or that sort of thing. We're going to get to that. What he's telling them is nobody can tell you that you have to keep them anymore. What I want you to see from the beginning here, from the gate as we come out of it, as it were, is the fact that holy days are days that God instituted Himself. Days that He commanded and said, these must be observed. Holidays, as I'm going to use this term, now holidays, keep in mind, the word holiday came from holy day. That's where its roots were. But interestingly, the word holiday has come to just simply represent a secular or religious celebration. It has a broader meaning than holy day. Holy day is 100% a religious focus. But holiday, for example, nobody would say that Independence Day is a holy day. At least I don't think anybody would. Nobody here would, right? That's a secular celebration. We call it a holiday. Nobody thinks that when I celebrate the 4th of July, I am worshiping God. Again, I say maybe I shouldn't say nobody. There may be some who do, but for the most part, culture doesn't look at it that way. We don't see it that way. So a holiday doesn't mean necessarily a holy day. But a holy day does. So here's what I want you to focus on. When I use the term holiday this morning and tonight, what I mean by it is a secular celebration. To help better present this lesson and so that there's no confusion, when you hear me say holiday, I'm talking about a non-religious focus. When I say holy day, I'm talking about a religious focus. And hopefully that will make this make a lot more sense. So in Colossians 2:16, we're talking about holy days. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus. To the book of Exodus, chapter 12. I want to give you a few examples of holy days as God ordained them, as He commanded them to be celebrated, if you want to call it that. to be noticed. And the traditions, really more so just commandments, that continued as traditions even today, unfortunately, Exodus 12 here. Notice with me verse number 16. Exodus 12, verse number 16. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. Now convocation, the word there meaning a meeting, a gathering. Something that's going to have a focus, a mindset. He says there's going to be a holy convocation on the first day. In the seventh day there will be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done to them, save that which is every man must eat, that only may be done of you. Verse 17, ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you'll observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Israel, as long as you are under the Old Testament law that is being written, that we're reading right here in the book of Exodus, as long as you're under it, you're going to eternally, under this law, be told to, commanded to, required to recognize this Passover feast, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Remember the Passover as the Lord literally passed over Egypt, right? The firstborn, they were all going to die. If you had the blood on your doorpost, though, you were exempt. And so God passed over those houses. And to remember that, He says, I want you to recognize a holy day called the Passover, and you're going to have a feast for 7 days of unleavened bread, and you will forever recognize this holy day. Not holiday, this holy day commanded by God. I'll give you a couple examples of some others. Look at chapter 20. That was, by the way, an annual holy day, like we would think of an annual holiday. That was an annual thing that they would do that was commanded by God and was spiritual. Exodus 20 and verse 8. You're very familiar with this one. This was a weekly holy day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you'll work, you'll labor, verse 9, and do all thy work. But on the seventh, you're going to rest. You're going to cease from your labor. That is a holy day. That is a day that God says, I want you to recognize as my day, as a day that I've set aside for a purpose on this day. This was a weekly holy day that they had to participate in. But again, today we don't have the ability to, nor can anybody judge us for not doing them, because these precepts have been done away. Look at Leviticus chapter 23. I'll show you another one. Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse 15. These passages we're reading maybe aren't the most common ones we would study, as we don't necessarily, of course, participate in them today. But they are in the old law for us to learn about and will apply so well to this study. Leviticus 23:15. Ye shall count unto you from the morrow, after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheave of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. From the Passover feast, okay, you've got that 7 days of unleavened bread we were discussing. From that first Sabbath there, you're going to count 7 Sabbaths, or 7 weeks, 49 days. Then he says this, verse 16, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, 7 times 7 is 49, plus the next day, that's 50 days, shall ye number, and there he says it, 50 days, ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. What's he discussing here? The day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, we're very familiar with that, right? Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost was fully come. You remember the Lord had that Passover feast with His apostles. And so this day of Pentecost, it was another holy day. A feast that was set aside by God for a purpose for them to recognize. Let me just mention these others for sake of time. Leviticus, same chapter 23, verse 27. Another one you're familiar with, the Day of Atonement. Another annual holy day. A day that the high priest would go in and sacrifice and offer. Remember the blood 7 times, upward motion over the altar, for himself, for his family, and for the people. That was a holy day. Same chapter, Leviticus 23, verse 34. The Feast of Tabernacles. Maybe not quite as well known, but the Feast of Tabernacles, or the week that Israel would dwell in booths, as you recall. Do you remember when Ezra was teaching the Word and reading the law, and they recognized they had been failing to live and to stay in those booths for 7 days, and they did so? They were failing to recognize a holy day God had set aside, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. One more I'll mention, Leviticus 25, back up to verse 10 and following, and you read about the year of Jubilee. And I want to mention this one because this one was not yearly or weekly or monthly. This was once every 50 years. This was bicentrally, if we want to call it that. Twice every 100 years. Every 50 years, they would have this special day or year of Jubilee, rather, in which they would give, if they had bought slaves, if they had bought land, all of that would go back to its original owner. God designed this. He wanted them to remember from whence these things ultimately came. They belonged to God. They were God's. And this was a way for them to remember that. And you recall that when they sold it, if you sold land 10 years before the day of Jubilee, that land would not be as valuable as it would have been if you had sold it 40 years before the year of Jubilee, because of how long you would have it. And so there are lots of interesting facts there that go along with it. But all of these were holy days that you're familiar with, that God said, I want you to recognize them. I want you to recognize me and to accept these days. Now, that aside, let's go to today for a moment. Before we talk about holidays, I want to continue on holy days. What holy days do we have today? Now, we'll talk about the one that we do have, and there's only one. You know what it is. But here's what the religious world would say we have as holy days. First of all, I have to mention Christmas. Christmas. I want to take a moment just to give you a brief history of Christmas, because it's important to know. You know, we celebrate, probably everybody in this room, maybe with exception, but I would bet everybody in this room, including myself, we do something special on Christmas. Maybe we put a tree up. Maybe we put some lights out. Maybe we do some presents. I do that too. I do the same thing. Maybe some of you do a little more than that. Maybe some of you do a little less. But you probably do something around this time. But I want you to know the history of Christmas. It's good to know. It's good to understand. Because somebody might just ask us, why do you do that? Why do you celebrate Christmas? Do you know about Christmas? Are you sure that the Bible is going to authorize that kind of activity? We need to know the answer to those questions. And we need to prove within ourselves why that would be acceptable or not acceptable. Christmas is very interesting. As I was studying this, I began to realize how little we really know about the beginning of, the etymology of Christmas. Some want to argue that it goes back to 200 A.D., but more historically and accurately, we can at least pinpoint it back to about the 6th century, maybe a little before. But here's what we do know, is that the apostles or the New Testament church in no way, shape, form, or fashion ever celebrated the birth of Christ. They never had a holy day ordained by God or by apostolic example where they would celebrate the day Christ was born. It did not happen. What did happen is that in time, and what we do know historically, is that the Roman Catholic Church decided back in the 6th century that they would institute December 25th as the day that Jesus was born. There was a man by the name of, and I wrote his name down because I knew I wouldn't remember it, Dionysius Exiguus. I hope I'm saying that right. Dionysius Exiguus. This man is who we even presently, we don't even, maybe even realize this is where we got it, but he's the man that said that 2015 years ago is the year that Christ was born. He did a lot of guessing in that. He had some documentation, but very little. And what we now know, based upon documents from Rome and some places, we now know that he was at least 4, if not 5 or 6 years late on the birth of Christ. We don't know the exact year. We certainly don't know the month or the day. But it was not when he said it was. If we were technical, the year we are in right now would be 2019 to 2021, if we want to go by the calendar of when Jesus was born. But this Dionysius decided that was when Jesus was born, and they decided it would be on December 25th. That was the day they pinpointed. And today, there are those who celebrate that day as the birth of Christ. Now, here's why I wanted to talk about this. The Catholic Church and the Pope, and you know, they brought this into the picture. They called it Christ's Mass, M-A-S-S, and now it's just become called Christmas. But here's what's interesting to me, is I found that the Protestants borrowed this over from the Catholics. And this is interesting because at first it was rejected. It was a heresy. There was an abolishment, I believe it was in 1647, that they created this abolishment that you were not allowed to celebrate Christmas. But in time, it became a secular celebration. In fact, the Americans decided to bring the Santa Claus in. What I'm reading, it was maybe borrowed from the Dutch. Who knows? Doesn't matter. But this Santa and all of these things associated with it came from this Protestant secular side of this. Now the Protestants use it as well and celebrate it as the birth of Jesus Christ. Here's why I say all that. There are those who celebrate it as a religious holy day. There are those who celebrate it in a secular sense, having nothing to do with God Almighty. And so what we need to decide is where that line is drawn, what is and what is not acceptable, which we're going to do. But I want to continue on this side for a moment before we make application. The word Easter. Easter is another one, the second that I'll focus on, and then we'll move on, that has to do with a religious holy day. And I won't go into all the history here, but just know this. The King James Version in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4 is part of the problem here because it translates Passover Easter. And there are a lot of folks that will basically take that day as the Passover day, the Sunday that it's celebrated, Easter Sunday, and they'll say that that was the day that Christ was resurrected, and so we'll celebrate that as a religious holy day. Again, the first century church did not do that. Now, Easter eggs and all that, that's something totally different, and we'll get to that eventually, but we're celebrating as a religious holy day, using it as an opportunity to worship God in a special holy day that He established is not there. Biblically, here's the point of this. God never said, I want you to celebrate the birth of my Son. God never said, I want you to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus once a year in this special holy day that I've ordained. It's not there. Biblically, it's just not there. God never said to the Jews, I want you to celebrate the quote-unquote miracle that occurred at the second rededication of the temple during the time of the Maccabees. And you know, they say that this miracle happened where the oil lasted 8 days and it only should have lasted one. And they celebrate that and they call it Hanukkah. And they, for 8 days, celebrate that year. He never told the Muslims, as they would talk about this Ramadan that they celebrate, He never told them that I gave this revelation to Muhammad. And in the ninth month of your calendar year, I want you to fast and celebrate the revelation that Muhammad... None of that is in the Bible. None of that was instituted by God. So how we treat that is very significant. Turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 13. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take, if you're willing, take your marker, put it in Romans 13. I'll give you a moment to do that, and then I'll give you the second instruction here. Romans 13, put your marker there. And then go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. What we're going to do for the next 2 points here is to go back and forth between these two chapters. Both of them are going to mirror each other very, very well. Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. First of all, Romans 13 and verse 7. Romans 13 and verse 7. Here's the question I now want to answer with the time we have remaining. Is or does the New Testament authorize a celebration of holidays? Not holy days, holidays. Can we secularly celebrate a holiday? You might be surprised, and I believe, as I was in really studying this, that we do find a little bit of authority that you may not have even realized. Romans 13 and verse 7. I want to show you a couple of thoughts here. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. If you look over at 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, there's the sister or the mirror passage to this. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Is it authorized in the New Testament, question number one, to take a day or an opportunity to celebrate or to honor someone? Absolutely. If you want to take a day, if I want to take a day and say I want to celebrate my birthday, I want to take my birthday and be excited about that and celebrate the day I was born, would that be acceptable? Of course. Why would that be contrary to God's will? It has nothing to do with our worship. We're not violating any principles there. Surely, we can honor. Maybe a better example would be, say, Veterans Day. Is it acceptable to honor our military troops? Absolutely. Honor is due. I don't know too many more folks to whom honor is due than that, than these guys that serve in our military, that serve our country and have for many years. And God bless each of them for their courage, and their hard work. And so we take an opportunity and we say, we're going to take this day, we're going to celebrate them. We're going to honor them and give tribute to them for their service. The Bible says, I can give honor to whom honor is due. And so we're allowed to do that however we choose to do that, so long as we don't violate another principle of God's Word. Honor all men. And so I can take that day and I can honor our military troops. Stay in Romans 13, though, and look at verse 1. I broke my own rule. I dropped my finger out of 1 Peter 2 there. Romans 13, verse 1, and 1 Peter 2 as well. Here's Romans 13, 1. You know the passage. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. 1 Peter 2, the mirror passage, verse number 13. 1 Peter 2, verse number 13. Says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. We understand this principle as well. I've got to obey the governmental powers, the leaders of this nation. So long as they don't require me to do something that is unbiblical, then I must obey them. Same as elders. Same as wives to husbands. We are to submit in everything. That means I do anything that they tell me to. They'll be accountable for asking me to do something they shouldn't. But I've got to listen to them so long as it does not violate my ultimate creator, my ultimate ruler. And so I submit to the government. If the government says, they don't command it, but let's say they commanded us to celebrate the president on President's Day. It was a commanded thing, you had to do it. Then we would have to do that to some degree, right? As long as we weren't violating Scripture, because we submit to our government. What's the point of this? I want you to see that there is nothing wrong, biblically even in the New Testament, with making a day a special day, with using it for a secular purpose. And maybe I can give you the best passage of all here before we conclude. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Verses 5 and 6. If you've ever studied this topic before, you've read these two verses. Probably know every article, every study I did, every material I read out of the Lord's body, and all of them reference these passages, and rightly so. Romans 14, 5 and 6. One man esteemeth one day above another. This is exactly what we're talking about. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. He that, or rather, for he giveth to God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. He says some folks are going to make some days more special than others. They're going to esteem it higher. Other people may not do that. But he basically says here, if I may paraphrase, to each his own. When it comes to a secular celebration of something, to each his own. Right? We're talking about scruples here, interestingly. We're talking about things that men have brought in that are not necessarily going to be wrong biblically. But I want you to go to Galatians 4, a mirror passage to this, that says something different. And we'll notice the reason why it's different. Galatians 4 and verse 8. Galatians 4 and verse 8. Paul says, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Talking about idolatry here. Talking about their still following Judaism. Even these Gentiles who did not have any hope being involved with these traditions and continuing in them in the New Testament. Verse 9, but now, after you've known God, or rather are known of God, right? God has recognized them, as it were. How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? Whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? The bondage of the old law. He'd already mentioned it earlier and would again later in chapter 5. But then he says this in verse 10. Ye observe days, months, times, and years. I am afraid of you lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. What these folks were doing and what Paul is addressing here is those that would continue to celebrate religious holy days that God did not institute under His New Testament to follow. What's the difference between Galatians and Romans? Galatians is a celebration of these holy days And Paul says, by inspiration, that's not acceptable. You've got to get rid of this. And they were literally being idolatrous in their action. But in Romans, he says, some will put some days above others. To each his own in that regard. There is a difference, brethren, between holiday, celebrating a day for a secular purpose, and a holy day, trying to make something a worship or a religious celebration of God and teaching something we don't want, or doing something we don't want to do. I want you to turn for a moment to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then we're going to conclude for this morning. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. What I want you to remember about Christianity, and where a lot of folks don't like the churches of Christ, they think we teach what we don't in this regard, is as long as we are not violating God's Word, Christianity is not about bondage. It's not about being bound down and living in this small square box. It's about freedom in Christ. Anything that is not sinful is ours. We can enjoy one another's company, and we can be entertained, and we can do this and that and travel. And we have all kinds of freedom so long as we don't violate God's commands. And I want you to see that here in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours. Ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Kind of tying back to Romans 14. As long as you're not violating God's word and the principles set with there, and not violating His prohibitive silence as well, then you are free to participate in that. So the question then remains, and what we'll talk about tonight, Lord willing, is, are these holidays, or at what point in celebrating these holidays, could I be violating the freedoms that I have? Or could I be crossing that line and making it a holy day? I wish I had more time to continue and discuss it. I don't. I will mention this, and then the lesson will be yours. There is one day that God has set aside, and it is a weekly holy day, if I may call it that, and that is the Lord's Day. And He says that on that day, every first day of the week, I want you to do something. I want you to, quote-unquote, celebrate something, to remember something, to focus upon a holy convocation, to gather together and to focus upon My Son and His sacrifice, His death, burial, and resurrection for you. I want you to remember that death every first day of the week. That is the one holy day that God has instituted in His new law. Revelation 1 and verse 10, you see John say he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day, and therefore it is a holy day. Tonight, I want to discuss and answer the questions about how we treat these days, how others view these days, giving the right impression and what to avoid and not to avoid, and some of the arguments associated with what I've already mentioned, what is and what isn't acceptable. And I hope by the end of the study tonight, we will be in unity together about what is and what is not appropriate regarding these holy days. I'm not here to tell you you can't do anything at Christmas or Thanksgiving or those kinds of things. I just want us to understand what the Bible says about this matter. My time is up, and so we will offer the Lord's invitation at this time. The opportunity is here again and again that God has given you through His long suffering to allow you the opportunity to obey the gospel. What does that mean? It means that the gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that is the good news, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. And how do you obey that gospel? Well, you've got to reenact that death, burial, and resurrection. And that begins by believing in it. Believing that it actually happened, that Jesus really is the Son of God. It means that you're going to change your life, that you're going to try to live like Him. Follow Me, as He told the apostles one by one, and we're to follow Him and live like Him, to walk in His steps, to try our best to be like Him more and more every day. That's repentance. And to confess and to tell others that you believe that, that your life has changed, and to help them to see that truth. And then to be baptized, where you literally reenact that death, burial, and resurrection, in which under that water you're immersed, not sprinkled, not poured. It's a burial. You literally die with Jesus Christ. Coming up out of that water, you're resurrected as He was, raised to walk as a new creature. All of your sins washed away by His blood, Revelation 1 and verse 5. Maybe you've done those things, though, and you've allowed sin back into your life. Maybe it's something you're doing that you know the Bible tells you not to do. Maybe it's something that you're not doing that you ought to do. Maybe you've failed in your attendance. Maybe you've failed in your studies or in prayer. Maybe you're not being kind, the theme of this year, and maybe you're not evangelizing, whatever it is. If there's something that might be hindering you from your relationship with Almighty God, don't leave here this morning knowing that there is doubt. Make it right. The Lord offers you the invitation, and you have the opportunity that you may not have tonight or tomorrow, but you have it now. Won't you make your life right with God? Come to Him. Come forward now as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.